Welcome to the SNF Spotlight Series, brought to you by Renewal Rehab, a dynamic therapy company that provides full-service therapy for nursing homes. Trust Renewal to renew your loved one. On this episode, you will be hearing from Julie Norton Cruz, the Assistant Administrator with Palos Heights Rehabilitation.
Welcome to another fantastic episode of the SNF Spotlight Series. I'm your host, Yitz Rubin, Director of Business Development with Renewal Rehab, and I have the privilege to be speaking with Julie Norton Cruz, the Assistant Administrator at Palos Heights Rehabilitation, based in Crestwood, Illinois. Julie, can you tell us a little bit about you and your role with Palos Heights?
Yes, absolutely. So my name is Julie Norton Cruz. I started in long-term care 12 years ago. I've been with Palos Heights Rehab since its inception, as our building was acquired back in 2019, and I was with the previous company before that. I started off in reception and worked my way through the nursing department, kind of moonlighted in every other department, and eventually landing in admissions. After only a few months in admissions, I was promoted to assistant administrator.
So you've been in many different roles in the industry for a while, moving up in the ranks. How would you say COVID-19 impacted your role and your team's caring for the patients?
So I think it really turned it up on its head. We have to do things a very different way now. We definitely don't have the support of our families that we're so used to. We have a very extensive and supportive family community, which I think is not always the case for skilled nursing facilities and long-term care. We had to adapt the way we took care of our residents and the policies we did and the way we did our daily life, as we had a very activity-rich environment. And now we have to do more one-on-ones and, you know, less groups, less big parties. And it's pretty much upset our whole nature. We're unable to accept every patient. We're unable to provide the needs of the community in a lot of cases as well, because we have to do such extreme screening processes, and people are just not willing to come to long-term care and skilled nursing right now as well. So,
wow. So what are some of the measures that you and your team have taken to help the patients?
So our facility was early screeners. We were screening right at the very beginning when they just started making those recommendations. We've implemented 24-hour reception to make sure that everybody who enters our building is being screened. You know, we've limited access points, made sure that our staff are provided ample time, and if they need to recover or, you know, sort out whether they're symptomatic. We've done weekly testing, you know, those symptom checks, just anything that we can think of, as well as implementing higher levels of infection control and hand hygiene. We were already very good with that and everything, but just making sure that we're in servicing more often. One of the biggest things was that we were very quick to acquire PPE. So having enough the entire time, I think, was what really slowed our roll when it came to outbreaks and, you know, preventing those from spreading and making sure our staff were protected.
Yeah, so how did that work exactly? At least in the beginning, PPE was very difficult to get, you know, your hands on. What did other facilities do that may not have had the right connections or, you know, to get that equipment?
We had a unique way because I had worked extensively in central supply beforehand. So we all pitched in to acquire PPE. It wasn't just put on one person. We went through a lot of the agencies that were giving out free PPE, and, you know, we in no way had a stockpile, but we were very careful to make sure that we had enough at all times. We also had, our facility didn't have just what we needed on hand. We always had an emergency pile. So even when we did have to kind of tap into that backlog, it wasn't like we were scrambling at the last second to acquire things. We also work with some great suppliers that really went above and beyond, you know, even on weekends, driving them out themselves to make sure that we had what we needed. So
you guys really, you know, made sure that you have the right equipment for the situation, and sort of closing the doors for many of the family members, you know, during the situation. How are the patients handling this? Is it like very lonely for them?
I won't say it isn't. We have our staff, especially our life enrichment and social services departments, have really went above and beyond to brainstorm and initiate ways to support our patients and residents during this time. Our long-term care families were incredibly involved and supportive. They were the type to be there every single day. We knew them. We knew what they did for a living. You know, so for them to just one day go from brushing their hair, their mom's hair every day because they wanted to and they wanted to be there for them, to not being able to see them for months at a time, it was really heartbreaking. And our, you know, a significant portion of our patients have a cognitive deficit or a type of dementia. So they didn't know what happened to their families. And there's only so much comfort you can provide when you can't prove that they just didn't stop coming to see them. And, you know, hard of hearing patients don't do well on the phone. They don't do well, you know, like you and me with this Zoom calls and iPhone, you know, FaceTimes and things like that. So we really had to step it up in terms of staff members to give them that one-on-one time to patiently explain and help them understand why their families weren't coming. You know, a lot of them are still struggling with that, and we've done everything. We've utilized visitation when appropriate with the outdoor visits and everything. There was an article on the Chicago Tribune in Southtown about our outdoor visitation, how we, you know, did the most to make sure that they could be seeing their families. We've done compassionate care visits with ample amounts of caution, so our patients on hospice or who've had significant declines are able to see their families during that time of need. And then using and allowing technology to bridge those gaps, including just counseling families how to download those apps on their phones and, you know, kind of teach them how to use it, as well as setting up communication devices for families when they decided to purchase them on their own. And one of the big things that we have coming up is our holiday season. And our facility, through the many years that we've been around, have always had huge family Christmas parties and New Year's parties, and invited all these families in, rented out. We, you know, rented, allowed them to use and reserve our spaces for family parties, so that way the families could spend that time with their loved ones. So we started actively planning our holiday activities in September in order to, you know, make up for that, so that way we don't let COVID steal their Christmas as well. So,
Julie, it seems like an assistant admin role. What sort of relationship do you have with the patients, with the people there? Like, how do you look at them?
Because I came from the nursing department very shortly before I took the assistant administrator role, my previous position was actually a liaison between the physicians and the patients and their families. So I already had a very close relationship with a lot of our families, especially in long-term care, and even a lot of our frequent visitors to our skilled nursing area, which was like subacute, post-acute rehab. So once I became the assistant administrator, I really became a sounding board for them, because they knew my name, they knew my face, they knew they could reach out to me at any time, and I would try and help them with their questions and concerns. So once I took that role, and once COVID really started to hit, I really tried to make myself as much as possible a resource for those families in order for them to have, you know, consistent person that they can contact when all of our staff was busy during this time. And, you know, if some of those families, they just needed that constant reassurance that somebody was following up, even just a quick, you know, text message to me to say, hey, I sent an email, can you just make sure it gets taken care of? And, you know, me just saying absolutely and just bringing it up during meetings and everything to make sure that stuff was. A lot of our staff was great about taking care of those needs, but sometimes the families just needed a little reassurance, and I tried my best to be that for them. So just be reassuring that those things were taken care of once they were asked. So,
yeah, I mean, Julie, we just met. I mean, I'm sensing that you're more than just, you know, running a nursing facility. I feel like you're, you know, maybe being their family, especially during this hard time, like really holding their hands and connecting to them and feeling like these are your people, like these are your loved ones. These are like, yeah, an extended part of your family. Like, that's what I'm sensing.
We in the industry like to claim some of our patients as our own, and most of our patients, to be honest. We always say if we hear somebody's not doing well or anything, we make sure to go to those people that we've been spending all this time with. You know, we spend our own money to make sure that they have treats sometimes. You know, we do their shopping if their families can't. We know pretty much all of their situations. We know their stories. So they do become your family. It's impossible for them not to. And, you know, given the nature of our industry, we're in the long-term business, and the fact that, you know, long-term care used to be a lot longer, but people are delaying, you know, putting their families in facilities. So we get them at the end of their life, unfortunately, but it's definitely a great position to be in, because you really can feel the connection to a lot of these people and hear the wonderful stories. I've, you know, met residents and spent time with them that had danced with Fred Astaire, or ones that had been on a baseball team that competed in the same league of their own that movie's based on. So having been able to make connections to great men and women like that, that was a chemist that, you know, developed drugs that now save the same people that they are residents with. It's amazing. It's really amazing. So, you know, a lot of us will even share our own families if they don't have families. We bring pictures of our kids and, you know, they watch them grow up. A lot of the people in my building, especially one resident who's been there for a long time, they watch my daughter grow up, because, you know, just bringing pictures, and she would come trick-or-treating when we were able to open our doors and let the kids come in. And it's a heartbreaking time too, because you just see how much so your family is suffering, much less your family at work. So
is it safe to say that you're in love with your patients? Like they're not just patients, they're family.
Oh, absolutely. We cry for them. We go home, we think about them. You know, there are a lot of patients that I spent more time with than my own family at a lot of times. So, you know, we keep in contact with the family members afterward, you know, after they leave us, and you make lifelong connections to these people. It's impossible not to, especially if you're an empathetic person and you're in the industry for the right reasons. Not everybody is, and that's okay. But we want to make sure that we as a facility like to make sure that the people that we hire are those compassionate, caring people that really want to make a difference in these people's lives and, you know, make their golden years truly golden. So
can you share with us like a specific story of, you know, a relationship between a patient and a employee, and like how that connection may have developed, and, you know, like something, especially during this hard time, like, is there anything specific you could think of?
We have a lot of amazing staff that just truly connect with their patients, and some of my best stories involve our patients that have a lot of great family members, but one of our patients unfortunately did not. She was a very old woman. She had nieces and nephews, but most of them were older themselves because she had grown into her late 90s at the time of her death. And her nephews and nieces slowly but surely all, you know, ticked off themselves, and they, you know, kind of left her without anybody in the world. So when COVID hit, she had had a couple of strange family members that were definitely not close. They were, you know, farther down the line, I think great, great niece, great, great nephew at that point. So they had never met her in person most of the time, but they were trying to help us make decisions for her because of the fact that, you know, she had to have somebody in her life. And they were kind people, but they just didn't have a connection to her. So a lot of our staff members took extra time. She required maximum assist for feeding, meaning that she had to be fed. And they really just took that time to speak with her and spend time with her and, you know, truly try and make those connections, those day-to-day connections that you and I would probably take for granted, you know. And because, you know, you're not supposed to touch your residents other than, you know, very, for lack of a better term, very vague touches, you know, and everything like that. But, you know, just trying to make sure that she felt their closeness by sitting a little bit closer than you typically would, or being a little more gentle in the way that you brush her hair or, you know, lotion her skin or anything like that. So one of our staff members had taken to feeding her dinner every single day. And the one day the staff member was there and she, I think I had seen her every single day for a month. You know, how you kind of just tend to see people. And I said, do you ever take a day off? And she said, I do. And she's like, but I've been trying to pick up shifts in order to make sure that this patient is getting her daily meal and everything. And I said, well, of course we're going to, you know, feed her and everything like that. You know, you don't have to be there for that. And she said, oh, no. The meal is a different. She's like, we sit and everything and we pretend we're at a restaurant and we have a conversation and we have a glass of wine. And I was like, oh, you're giving her wine and everything. And she goes, well, you know, apple juice is a close substitute. And, you know, she really just kind of made up this story in her head and just kind of went with it. The patient probably didn't realize exactly what she was trying to do or anything like that. But I really think that, you know, that patient knew what was going on and was able to kind of say to her and give her the reassurance that she was doing something good for her, even though she couldn't express her exact gratitude. So.
Wow. Yeah, it sounds like you guys are on the front line, heroes every day, taking care of some of the most acute patients, sacrificing many of your own lives, you know, your own families to really be there for these patients during this time. We had the privilege to speak with Julie Norton Cruz, the assistant administrator of Palos Heights Rehabilitation, based in Crestwood, Illinois. She's amazing. I'd feel very comfortable sending my loved one there. You know, you can too. You can check them out. And thank you for watching. Stay tuned for another fantastic episode.
Thank you for listening to the SNF Spotlight Series, sponsored by Renewal Rehab, the best therapy provider for SNFs. Trust Renewal to renew your loved one. We will be interviewing some of the leading nursing home professionals in the country, as well as many healthcare heroes that are sacrificing day in and day out to help your loved ones recover and come home to you. Please subscribe to our channel, as there will be many more new and exciting episodes from our healthcare heroes.